continue our series this morning called Instead. And we have this week and probably next week, we're going to wrap this teaching series up. It'll be about 8 weeks, kind of a long series for us. We've been looking at this word instead and seeing all throughout the New Testament where when Paul is often writing, we've been looking a lot at Ephesians. Today we're going to be in Philippians. You can follow along on the YouVersion Bible app and get that ready to go. But we've been seeing this word instead where throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, throughout Paul's writings to the churches and to Christians and believers, he says something along the lines of, you used to do this, or people who aren't following Jesus do this, but you, because you are a follower of Jesus, because you know Jesus, instead we will do this. Amen? And so we've been talking about the different insteads that we have in our lives, and we've been looking at the idea that following Jesus, if you want to know in every situation, often following Jesus means following the instead, finding, doing instead what Jesus has called me to do, instead what my flesh or what the world or what other people are calling or are telling me to do. So following Jesus is about the instead. We'll be looking at the different insteads. And we're going to continue with an instead this morning in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And I'm going to read these verses. We're going to pray and we're going to dig right in. You guys get ready to get in the Word of God this morning? You guys ready to get in the Word of God this morning? Let's do it. Paul's writing again in Philippians to the church in Philippi, and this is what he says. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, there it is, everybody say instead. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Today, we're going to be talking about this idea. Instead, pray. Say that with me. Instead, pray. Say it again. Instead, pray. Let's pray. As we pray, can we bring a couple of the house lights up just so I can see everybody's beautiful shining faces just on the wings here? And that way I don't feel like I'm talking into a big, dark, empty cavern. Beautiful. Oh, my. You know what? On second thought, turn these off. I don't need to see these people. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You guys are looking good this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence in this place. Lord, I thank you right now that this morning as we dive into your word, Lord, the Holy Spirit is going to capture our hearts. Lord God, and I thank you that as we look at your word today and we look at this idea of instead pray, Lord, I thank you that right now you are going to speak to us the prescription for worry and fear and doubt and anxiety is going to bow its knee. And Lord, you are going to show us exactly what to do to conquer those things as we decide to instead pray in Jesus' name. Everyone put your hand on your belly. Repeat this after me at home or in the building. Say this after me right now. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Everybody say, instead, pray. Now, I have probably gone on this before, but I'm going to go in and dig again. Micah, why don't you just help me out? Grab that right there and bring this up here to me. You're going to help me out. Today, I'm just going to take, if you'll just indulge me for a moment, I'm going to just at the beginning here and get this out of the way. I am going to hop up on my soapbox this morning. Is it right? Do I have the word right? I did get it right. Nice job. I was over there the whole time during worship thinking about how I need to flip this up. If you'll indulge me for just a moment, you've probably heard me talk on this before, but I just feel like I need to hop up on my soapbox for just a moment as we dive into this thing about instead pray. And this is it. Now listen, this is one of my pet peeves. And if you've ever said this, if you've ever wrote this, if you've ever posted this, I would say that I don't want you to feel bad, but to be honest, I want you to feel a little bad this morning. I want you to feel, usually I would say don't be condemned. I want you to feel condemned this morning in all honesty, if I'm just being honest. This is just me releasing. Listen, you got to understand, I got a lot of anger and rage built up in my heart, and I think God might have called me to do this work so that I have an avenue to get this out. So I'm just going to let some of this venting out for you guys this morning, okay? It's good for me, good for my wife at home. I get that out of my system, and it's all good. Listen to me close. Listen, stop. If you do this, please, for the love of God, I am begging you, if you are a serious follower of Jesus, stop asking for things like this. Stop asking for prayer and good vibes. How many ever seen those posts? Oh, I got a rough day today. I got to go to the doctor. I just could really use some prayer and some good vibes. Listen, I'm all for prayer. It's the good vibes part that drives me up a daggone wall for very many reasons. The first reason, I'm going to lay all 15 of them out for you this morning as I stand on my soapbox, and you're just going to have to sit there and deal with it. Please, if you're watching online, if you've never shared a video before, share this one. I need this message to get out to as many people as possible. I don't care about the likes and views. I just have got to get this word out. Listen to me close. The first thing I hate about good vibes is this, that usually the people I've seen, now it's not always the case, but many times the people I see that ask for prayer and good vibes are the same ultra woke people wearing cardigans, sipping pumpkin spice lattes, and saying statements like, you know, man, I don't know about church and Jesus. I'm just more of like a spiritual person, man. So if you could just send me some good vibes, that would be great. Listen, that's the first problem I have, because that's just asinine. The second thing I don't like about good vibes, I'm going to be up here for a while, so just get comfortable. The second thing that doesn't make any sense about good vibes is I don't even know what good vibes are. What are good vibes? I actually went as far as to research this. The only thing that we know about good vibes is that it was a Beach Boys song. Remember that? I'm sending out good vibrations. That's Beach Boys. I want to go back and I want to choke you, because that might be the origin of this asinine, stupid thing. Sending out good vibes. What are good vibes? And if I can identify good vibes, how about this? How does one send good vibes? What's the postage on good vibes? Is there a stamp? Is it a postcard stamp? Is it a manila envelope letter? How does one send good vibes? And another question about good vibes. If I can send good vibes, can I also send bad vibes? Can I send out bad vibes? I don't know. Here's the thing. This is what I'm going to hop off, because I'm afraid I've exhausted my limit before I fall over on that thing. I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it so much. If I could go back, if some people, if you were to ask them, hey, if you could go back in time, what would you like to do when you go back in time? Maybe some people say, I'd like to go back and meet Abraham Lincoln when he was writing the Gettysburg Address. I would like to go back in time and see the Revolutionary War of America, and see maybe when the Constitution was founded. I'd like to go back in time and see, you know what I would like to do? If I could go back in time, honestly, the first thing I would do, I would go back in time. I would go back to the time when the first person ever asked for prayer and good vibes. And this is exactly what I would do. I would slap them and say, just ask for prayer. Good vibes aren't a thing, and they're not in the Bible. Oh, I feel so much better. Thank you for indulging me this morning. Listen, please, please, for the love of God, just ask for prayer. Just pray, because good vibes aren't a real thing, and you can't send them, and you don't know if you're getting them. It's completely ridiculous. And nowhere in the Bible did Jesus ever say, hey, man, can anybody send some good vibes my way? Can you imagine Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating blood? I got a really bad day tomorrow, man. Could you send some good vibes my way? It's going to be rough, dude. No. No, 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 no. Instead, we are just going to pray. Say, instead, pray. Here's what we see in this text. Paul gives us the prescription from the Bible for worry. And it's not good vibes. It's not bad vibes. It's not prayer and good vibes. It's just prayer. Listen to me close. If you are dealing with worry, if you are dealing with an anxious heart, if there are things that are plaguing your mind and keeping you up late at night, I want you to listen to me close. God's prescription for worry is prayer. Let me say it again. God's prescription, the Bible's prescription, if you are consumed with worry and anxious in your mind. In fact, that word worry literally means to be troubled with cares, or to be anxious, or to be weighed down with the cares of life. And the Bible gives us a prescription and gives us something to handle when our lives and our hearts are troubled with cares and worry is taking a place in our mind. And God said the prescription for prayer is, or for worry is prayer. Let me say it one more time. God's prescription for worry is prayer. This is what Jesus said about worry. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, he said this about worry. He said, who of you by worry can add one single day to your life? This is what Jesus said. Jesus made us understand that, listen, you can worry about something and have it consume your mind and eat away at you all day long, but there is not one single thing that simply worrying about a thing is going to do. You cannot add one day to your life. You cannot change one thing in your life by allowing worry to consume you. And this is the nature and this is the thing of worry. Worry, you can call it anxiety. You can call it staying up late at night. You can call it being troubled, whatever. It's all basically worry. Worry seeks, if you will allow it, if I allow it, worry wants to take up the center space in my heart. Amen? You ever had a doubt? You've seen this happen in your life. You have a fleeting doubt, a fleeting thought, or whatever, of anxiousness, of worry, and you grab onto that, and all of a sudden, it just begins to snowball. It rolls and rolls and rolls. You ever done this? You ever thought, like, man, I wonder if I left the stove on or something? And then you start thinking, man, I'm not sure if I left the stove on. You're kind of worried about it. Then all of a sudden, before too long, you're consumed with that thought. And then all of a sudden, you're not only just worried about the stove being left on, you're worried about the house burning down. Then you're worried about losing everything you own. Then you're worried about being homeless in the street, and worry just snowballs. Amen? How many ever understand something like that? And worry, if we allow it, will completely consume our thoughts, completely consume our mind, completely consume everything to the point where worry is taking up the center space of your life and the center space of your heart. And I want us to look, can you put Philippians 4:6 back up there real quick? Look at what it says here. How much are we supposed to worry about? It says, don't worry about anything. How much are we to worry about? Nothing. How much do we worry about? Nothing. Wait a minute. Should we worry about where my next meal's coming from? Because that's a big thing. Should I worry about what college my kids are going to go to? Should I worry about who my kids are going to marry when they get older? Come on, somebody. Should I worry about who I'm going to marry when I find? None of those things. It says, don't worry. Let's go the other way. It says, don't worry about anything. It says, pray about everything. How much am I supposed to pray about? How much am I supposed to pray about? Wait a minute. Even little things. I mean, God's got big things on his mind. There's wars and there's famines and there's COVID and there's all this wild stuff happening. There's the economy. Do I really need to pray about the little minuscule things that are going on in my life? But I mean, surely God has bigger fish to fry. Surely God has real big problems to worry about. My stuff really doesn't matter to God, does it? Is that what the Bible says? No, it says, but here's what we do. We often flip that, and worry wants us to flip that and get us into a state of our lives and our mind where we're walking around. Instead of worrying about nothing and praying about everything, we end up worrying about everything and praying about next to nothing. So we've got to flip that. We've got to flip that on its head. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to worry about nothing and pray about everything. Amen? Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Say that with me. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Say it again. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Those two words, nothing and everything, in the original Greek language that Paul writes that in. The word nothing literally translates not one single thing. And the word everything literally means every single thing. Amen, somebody? And this is what you need to know. If we're going to pray about everything in order to worry about nothing, we've got to realize that God is in fact concerned
about every aspect of your lives. Jesus, in the same sermon in Matthew chapter 6, when he says, who can add a single day to your life by worrying? Jesus, before he says that, he says, you know, your Father knows the exact in heaven. He says, your Father in heaven knows the exact number of hairs that are on your head. Amen? Even, that means that he knows the number of hairs that are on my wife's head before she goes into the shower, and how many got lost in the drain and made that disgusting drain clog. How many men have ever pulled one of those nasty things out? Ugh. Can I just say something? Girls are so gross. It's so disgusting to live with a woman. You know what I mean? It really is. And I got three in my house for all essential purposes. And it's terrible. There's nothing, it's just the most disgusting thing. My two teenage daughters' bathroom is so nasty. I feel like, honestly, me and Micah and Luca at one point, we should probably just have our own place eventually, because it's just too much. There are a couple reasons against that. We won't get into that now. But it's gross. But he knows exactly how many hairs went down that drain, and he knows exactly how many I'm pulling up out of the drain and vomiting over when I pull it up out of the drain and it clogs up. I know that's gross, but that's God. I'm trying to say that God cares about everything. Amen, somebody? God is concerned about everything. God, and not only does God care, not only is God concerned, but let's take it one step further. God, in this text here, when he says, pray about everything, God is inviting you and I to bring God into the center of every aspect of our lives. Amen, somebody? The little stuff, the big stuff. And here's the thing about little stuff and big stuff. Listen, sure, you might feel, and I think it's a trick of the enemy to keep you away from God when it's that thought that says, well, there are so many people that are struggling with so many more bigger things than me. There's nothing wrong with realizing that, but there's also nothing wrong with realizing and owning the fact that, listen, just because it's not a big thing to someone else doesn't mean it's not a big thing to you. Come on, somebody. And if it's a big thing to you that would cause you in any way to worry, that would cause you in any way to allow worry to take up the center place of your life, then that's a big enough thing for you to pray about and give to God. Amen, somebody? And sure, there may be some other people that have bigger things to worry about. We'll let them pray for that and pray for them too while you're at it. But God wants to, not only does he care about everything, but he wants to be involved at the center of every aspect of our lives. And we do that, and he does that through prayer. You want to say pray instead? Let's talk about prayer for a second. What is prayer? There's a lot of definitions of prayer. There's a lot of ways we could explain prayer. We could say that prayer is simply talking to God. How many have heard that definition before? Prayer is simply talking to God, and that is prayer. But there are two really important aspects of what the Bible calls prayer and what prayer is here that we see in the text. He says, pray about everything. That's a sentence, Philippians 4:6. Put 4:6 back up there for me one more time. And then he says this. Here's the two parts of prayer in this next sentence. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you are like me and grew up in and if you ever had to memorize scripture, and if you memorize that scripture in the King James Version says, pray about everything or by making supplications to God, making supplications and thanksgiving known unto God. Supplication is just a fancy King James way of saying, tell God what you need. Amen? That's all it is. So what is prayer? Prayer is making my request known to God, okay? That's a part of prayer, telling God what I need. And let me say this about telling God. Listen, when it comes to prayer, who I am talking to is a really important part of it. Amen? Because it didn't say go on Facebook and tell everybody else in the whole world what you need, did it?
It didn't say call up grandma and tell grandma what you need. Oh, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but don't spew what you need on Facebook, and don't spew what you need to your coworkers, and don't tell everybody else around you what you need if you haven't taken some time to tell your Heavenly Father, God, what you need. Amen? Tell God what you need. Now, here's a question about this. Well, why do I have to tell God what I need when He's God and He already knows? Ever thought that? I mean, Pastor, if what you're saying is true and God cares enough to keep the very numbers on the very hairs of my head numbered, if He knows all about what I need, why do I then have to take time to tell God what I need? Here's why. Yes, God knows exactly what you need. Amen? In fact, the Bible says in Psalms, David wrote that God has the answer to my prayer before the prayer is ever on my tongue. So why do I now have to open my mouth and pray? Here's why. Because prayer, listen, invites me to exercise my faith through the prayer that I'm placing before God the Father. And it's faith, Hebrews 11:6 says it's faith that pleases God. Amen, somebody? Okay? God operates, God moves by the avenue and by the vehicle and in the realm of faith. So when I pray to God, I am allowed an opportunity to exercise my faith in God. And when I pray to God about everything, you know what happens? When God answers that prayer, whether it's in the moment, whether it's an hour from now, whether it's a year from now, whether whatever timeline God puts that answer on our lives, guess what will happen? When I've prayed to God, I'll then know for sure that God answered that prayer, and it had nothing to do with good vibes or any other foolish thing. Amen, somebody. So prayer invites me and is a way for me to exercise my faith, build my faith, and it brings me closer to God. And that's really what this is all about. God and I, God and you, coming closer together in relationship. That's what God wants. Amen. The second thing, tell God what you need, and then thank Him for all He's done. Thanksgiving is a big part of prayer. Don't be the type of person, don't be the type of friend, don't be the type of believer that only asks God for a bunch of stuff and never takes time to say thank you for what God has already done in your life. And there are actually two realms of Thanksgiving. I'll get to that in just a second. But listen, just how many like to spend a lot of time with people that only ask you to do stuff for them, and then when you do it, they never have the time to say thank you? Amen, somebody? That's a relationship that gets strained and thinned out and played out real quick, isn't it? Well, don't treat God like that. Don't treat your relationship with Jesus like that. Pray and then offer thanksgiving. Now, here's the thing about Thanksgiving. He says, thank Him for all He's done, okay? So this is a big part of prayer, because here's the battle that's happening in your mind when you pray. Your worry is trying to creep in. Doubt is trying to creep in. Anxiety is trying to creep in. And you go, okay, you know what? I'm gonna do what the Word of God says. I'm gonna get the prescription out. I'm gonna take the doctor's medicine. I'm gonna pray. So you begin to pray about that thing, right? And as you begin to pray, listen, this will happen. Many of you already experienced this, and I have. And this is very common and very normal. Listen, so when this happens, you'll know this is part of the deal. Okay? Listen, when you pray, you will, at the same time that you're praying, your mind might be saying, this is never going to happen. God is not going to do it. You are a crazy person. Stop doing this. Ask for good vibes. It's easier. Whatever. Your mind will be doing that, right? You keep praying anyway. And when you get done making your request known to God, God, this is a situation that I'm worried about. God, this is what I need. I don't care if it's a job. I don't care if it's a healing. I don't care if it's to help you forgive somebody that's hurt you or to help you get over an area of whatever it is. God, this is what I need. This is what I'm needing help with. Make my request known. And then begin to thank God. And the first thing we're going to thank God for is everything He's ever done for you in your past. Amen?
You say, well, I can't really think of stuff. Well, then just start off with the fact that you woke up today, that you're still breathing, that you've got another 24 above ground. Come on, somebody. Start there and just see what happens. And I've seen this before. A lot of times in my life, I begin to thank God, begin to praise. Happens in church service. Happens in my private time with the Lord or whatever. Man, as I begin to just start with some of the basic stuff, then that helps open up the door and bring to remembrance some other stuff that God's done. And if I can remember and thank God as I'm remembering and recounting and praising and thanking God for what He's done, you know what just happened? I'm building my faith for what I just asked Him to do. Because I'm remembering, man, God, you healed me. You healed me from this a couple years ago. And I'm asking for healing for this other thing now. And if you did it then, you'll do it now. I'm building faith. Amen, somebody? God, I remember when I was praying over our relationship and you healed that, and now we're in another time of struggle in our marriage. And God, you got us through that time. God, you'll get us through this time. Your faith is being built up. Come on, somebody. As I thank God, as I'm thankful, as I let Thanksgiving come out of that time of prayer. And then here's the other thing. Not only am I thanking God for the past, but because the Bible has told me, and I don't have time to go into all the text, I'll give you 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John wrote this. He says that when we pray, God hears our prayers. And if God hears our prayers, He gives us the thing for which we have asked. 1 John around 5, 14, 15, and 16. Okay? So if I believe the Word of God and God's Word says that when I pray, God hears me and He's given me the thing that I ask, guess what? Not only do I have to, that was a weird snort. How'd you like that? I don't know where that came from. I don't know what, all of a sudden my nasal passage closed and something weird happened. Wow. Anyway, I knew you all heard it. I figured I might as well address it myself. No sense in pretending it didn't happen. I saw the look on my wife's face too. She was like, what was that? What was I saying? Okay, so as I'm thanking God, I don't have to only thank God for the past. Guess what? If I know that God has heard me and He's given me what I've prayed about and asked for, guess what? I can also go ahead in faith and thank Him for doing in my present what I've asked Him to do, because according to the Word of God, He's already promised to do it. Amen? So I can thank God not only for things in my past, but I can thank God that He is already right now in my present hearing me and moving on my behalf to bring the thing that I need into my life. And when I fill my life up with prayer and thanksgiving, guess what? It takes up the space of worry and fear and anxiety and doubt. Amen, somebody? And this is now this amazing thing that happens. Verse 7, when I decide to worry about nothing and pray about everything, here's what happens. Philippians 4:7 says this, then, after I worry about nothing, pray about everything, prayer and thanksgiving, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Listen, as I pray, God releases His peace over my life. And it is in that order. He says, you worry about nothing, pray about everything, then God's peace will flow into your life. Listen, if you're struggling to find peace, if you're laying down at night and you can't find rest, if you're laying down at night and you're walking around your whole day and you're on edge and your teeth are chattering and you're stressed out and you're anxious, listen, and you're looking for peace, where is God's peace? God's peace is right behind your prayer. This is what the Word of God has promised us. And this is the thing about that peace. It didn't just say, I want you to pay attention to this, because it doesn't just say that God will give you peace. It doesn't say God will just give you some peace. It says that God's personal peace, God's the peace that belongs to God Himself, God will share with you and me. Isn't that something to think about? Not just some peace from somewhere, but God's peace. And God the Father is at complete peace with Himself. God has never been stressed out, not a day in His life. God has never scratched His head or thrown His hands up in the air and said, I don't think we can figure this thing out. God is perfectly at peace. In fact, This is what one of the great preachers from the last century said, named Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon says this in describing God's peace. He says, the peace of God is the internal composure of the absolutely well-contented God. God's peace. Absolute contentment. Total composure is the peace that God wants to share with you and me as we pray. Let me say it this way. When I share my heart with God in prayer, He shares His peace with me. When I share my heart with God in prayer, God shares His peace with me. And the Bible says that, here's what He goes on to say. This verse is so rich. He says, God's peace, which exceeds, or it means it's beyond anything that we can understand. God's peace that is beyond anything we can understand. Listen, I get it. You're saying, listen, that's all well and good when you're talking about a stubbed toe. That's all well and good when you're talking about a little thing. But preacher, I've got some big things going on. Pastor, I've got some big fights. I've got some big battles. I've got some real serious things, man. I got some life and death situations, man, that's keeping me up at night. And I don't know if prayer is going to get this thing done. Well, listen to me, friend. Listen, he says that peace is beyond our understanding. And there may be things going on in your life, and through prayer, through a relationship with Jesus, and through exercising our faith, through prayer, listen, we can have peace that is beyond our understanding, but available to our experience. Amen? Prayer makes peace that is beyond my understanding available for my experience. Just because I don't understand how I can have peace in the middle of my wildest, most savage, most insane storm doesn't mean that peace is beyond my experience. I can experience the peace of God regardless of whether or not I understand it at all. Amen? Prayer makes peace beyond my understanding available for my experience. And this is what the last thing that happens. He says, the peace of God will then stand guard at your heart. The peace of God will then stand guard at your heart. Listen. When I, instead of worrying about everything and praying about nothing, when I flip that and decide, you know what, I'm going to pray about everything and worry about nothing, God releases His peace, not just in the moment, but God, as that continues to be the attitude of my heart, as that continues to be the discipline of my life, God's peace will then stand guard at the door of my heart. And as I have God's peace at the door of my heart, guess what? It will keep worry from taking up that center space that it wants to take hold of. Amen? I don't know about you, I would rather have the peace of God taking up the center place in my life rather than worry. Amen, somebody? I would rather have the peace of God that's beyond all understanding, but because of the grace of God and through the practice of prayer can be available for my experience. I would rather have that taking up the center place in my heart instead of fear and doubt and anxiousness and worry. Amen, somebody? And this is what I want to leave us with, this question today. I just want to ask you this simple question, whether you're online watching at home or whether you're right here with us right here in the room. I think it's an important question we need to ask ourselves, probably now more than ever, is this. Who's at the center of your heart right now? Who's at the center? What's taken up the center space, the middle space of your life and your heart right now? And if it's not Jesus, we can fix that right now. Right now you have an opportunity to make that right. As you stand me all over this room this morning. If you can't honestly, with full assurance, say, you know what, Jesus is at the center place of my heart right now. This morning, right now, you have a moment. You have an opportunity to leave this experience and to leave this moment and to leave this place making the steps and taking the step to make Jesus the center part of your life. And that's exactly what he wants to do. And when I let Jesus become the center part of my life, everything that's connected to Jesus, everything that Jesus purchased for us on Calvary 2,000 years ago through his death, burial, and resurrection, guess what? That peace, that healing, that faith, all of that, that purpose, that destiny, that plan, that all comes with him to the center place of our lives. Amen? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, just so we can just take a second. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to us individually. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. In just a moment, I am going to ask you to raise your hand just as a way to publicly say, man, I'm going to make Jesus. I need to make Jesus the center part of my life right now. We're going to deal with worry and prayer here in just a moment. But man, if you're in this place, you're like, man, Jesus really isn't the center. In fact, Jesus really isn't any part of my life at all. Maybe he used to be and he's not now for whatever reason. Maybe he never has been. Right now, in this moment today, you can make Jesus, you can invite Jesus to take up the center place in your heart where sin, where worry, where doubt, where fear, and where all that wants to take up space. Jesus wants to take up that place in your life. And you can invite him to do that. And when you invite him to do that, he will do exactly that. And he will do that, my friend, because he loves you. He is not angry at you. He is not mad at you. He is not anything else except in love with you and wanting the absolute best for you. And he invites you to experience that and to know that through experiencing him and knowing him. And that's all possible because 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked this earth as a man. God became man in the flesh, Jesus. And Jesus lived the life of sinless perfection. Never told a lie. Never disobeyed his parents. Never did anything wrong. The only person to ever walk this earth and never break any of the laws or the commands of God. He lived the life that God's word declares that all of us are required by law to live. He did what we could not do because of sin. And then not only did he live the life that we are all required to live according to the law of God, he then died the death that we all deserve to die according to that same law. So not only did Jesus live a life that none of us could live, but then Jesus did one more thing. He took it one step further. He said, not only will I live the life in your place that you're required to live, he said, but I'll receive the punishment that you're required to receive, and I would do it in your place so that you don't have to. And he didn't do that because he's mad at you. He didn't do that because he's waiting for you to screw up so he can make you feel bad. He did that because he loves you. And right now you can know that love, experience that love, and invite that love to take up the center place of your life and make Jesus, what we would say, make Jesus the King and the Lord of your heart by inviting him to take up that center space right now. If that's where you are, if that's the decision, if that's the next step that you need to make in this place this morning, or if you're online at home this morning with us and that's where God is leading you, man, I want you to respond right now in the comments as we pray in just a moment. I want you to respond by just saying I'm praying that prayer by lifting your hand up, or in this room in just a moment, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand. We're gonna pray together. We're going to invite Jesus to take up that place in your life. We're going to accept what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago on the cross. We're going to accept that for our lives. That's where you are to say, man, I want to make that step. I want to invite Jesus to take up the center place. I want to invite Jesus to take up the center part of my life. I want to invite Jesus to take up residence in my life and be the center focus. Will you just right now, just raise your hand right now all over this room if that's the prayer we're praying today. Amen. Amen. I see a couple hands up. Praise God. We're going to pray this morning. I want everyone in this room, if you're watching online at home, pray this out loud. Somebody might be with you right now in the living room around your kitchen table. If they raise their hand, if you can see the Holy Spirit moving on them, just put your hand on them right now, on their shoulder, just pray. Everyone in this room, pray with me out loud so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live in the center place of my life. Be the central focus of my life from this moment on. Thank you for forgiving me. Holy Spirit, help me to follow Jesus from this moment on for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making us new this morning. Thank you, Lord, for making this moment real. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray by the Holy Spirit of God, take up residence in our lives. In Jesus' name. Maybe you've invited Jesus to be the center, but man, and there'd be no blame. It's completely understandable. We all go through seasons of struggle. Man, maybe you're a follower of Jesus, you know Jesus. But man, if you're honest right now, worry is taking up the center place of your heart. Worry is trying to stand guard at your heart and take up space in your life and in your heart that belongs to Jesus. Listen, we're going to pray and we're going to kick worry out and we're going to invite the peace of God to come. Amen? We're going to invite the peace of God as we pray to come and take up that center place. Amen, somebody? Amen, somebody? As we pray, the worship team is going to lead us in song as we go. There are going to be people to pray with you underneath these screens. Listen, if you raised your hand a moment ago, if you're online and raised your hand and prayed that prayer, listen, I want you to come and find somebody under these screens right now before you go there. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you, man. Just no big deal. You just want to pray. Say hello. If you have any questions, you can do that. Listen, or if you're online, or if you're not comfortable doing that, you can go right now to redlifechurch.com when you leave this place, before you leave this building today, before you log out on Facebook, go to redlifechurch.com. Right in the middle, it says, did you say yes to Jesus today? Follow those instructions just so that we can begin this journey together and help you, and just whatever needs to be happened. We just want to know that God's moving your life, man, and be able to pray with you. Amen, somebody? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have not designed us to walk around with worry taking up the center place in our lives. Lord, you have not called us to walk around with fear and anxiety and worry and doubt and anxiousness. You have not called us to walk this earth and to live this life weighed down and bogged down by worry and by the cares of this life. Lord, you have given us a prescription through prayer in Jesus' name. And I pray that, God, we will exercise that in every aspect of our lives. Lord, I pray that the next time worry tries to creep in, that we will instantly decide in that moment that we are not going to worry about anything, but we are instead going to pray about everything in Jesus' name. And I thank you right now. In fact, right now in this room, I think someone needs to might just take a moment and pray about some stuff that you've been worrying about instead. And as you do that, the peace of God is going to take up the center place. Lord, I thank you for sharing your peace with us as we share our heart with you in prayer. So we say right now, Lord, let the peace of God, let the peace of God stand guard at our heart and take up the center place that worry wants to take. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stretch your hands this way. Stretch your hands this way. I want to pray over you right now as we get ready to worship. Get ready to go. And these altars are open for prayer right under these screens. Receive this blessing right now. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord call